The Scoop Podcast, brought to you by PPG, the official paint of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
We are officially back. The 2019-2020 Pittsburgh Penguins hockey season is here, and with that comes a brand new season of the Scoop Podcast with a brand new sponsor, our friends at PPG hopping on board to lend their name to the Scoop Podcast. We thank them for being along for the ride this year. We also thank you for tuning in and making us a part of your podcast listens. I am Josh Getzoff, and it was a busy offseason for Jim Rutherford. Phil Kessel's gone. Ole Matta's gone. Matt Cullen retired. And in those trades with Kessel and Matta, Penguins picked up some new faces. Guys like Dominic Cahoon, Brandon Tanev, and Alex Galchenyuk, who sat down for the first episode of the Scoop Podcast this season with myself, Sam Kassan, and Michelle Crecchiolo. We talked with him about acclimating to Pittsburgh, getting ready to begin his first year as a Penguin, and even maybe some Russian tidbits as far as his relationship with Evgeny Malkin and growing up and playing his hockey career in many different locations en route to now finally arriving in the Steel City. So without further ado, here's Sam Kassan, Michelle Crecchiolo, and my conversation with Alex Galchenyuk in the first episode this season of the Scoop Podcast presented by PPG.
And with a brand new season, some new faces in the fold for the Penguins getting set for the new year. One of them joining us right now, we have Alex Galchenyuk joining us in the Scoop Podcast. Thanks for being here, Alex. Appreciate having you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you. So back where it all began. We were talking about this, Sam, Michelle, and I, before this podcast got started. As far as you're concerned, being drafted in Pittsburgh back in 2012, now coming back here, just kind of, I guess, take us through this summer that was for you, getting traded from Arizona to the Penguins and now finding your way through the Penguin lineup and getting ready for opening night.
Yeah, things move really quick, especially in this league. You know, at one point you're training and you're talking to your agent, getting ready for a season for with one team, and then a couple of days later you're on Pittsburgh, and you know, obviously your first reaction, you never want to get traded as a player, but then when you do, you kind of hope you end up on a team like this. So definitely a lot of excitement from that point, and then fast forward a couple of months, and here getting ready for a season.
How you feel about the city? You getting around, getting to see some things, feeling more and more like a Pittsburgher?
Yeah, I guess so. Getting adjusted pretty well, and you know, since I got drafted here, it was always special for me to, you know, come down and play here, because always the memories of the draft, and but it was definitely never, you know, as excitement or as, you know, fired up for the season when you know you're going to play for Pittsburgh Penguins.
And then once the trade happened, Alex, I mean, who reached out to you right away once you found out?
Sid texted me, and obviously a lot of, you know, staff, you know, the coaching staff, Jim, general manager, and then, you know, Gonch reached out too, so it was couple numbers also reached out, but there's so many random phone numbers that you don't know what to answer, what not to answer. So it was, but a couple guys reached out, which was great.
And how is it, Alex, especially since you know, Russian is your first language and that's your background, which we'll get into later on, but to have Sergei Gonchar and have Evgeny Malkin here, I mean, just how cool is that for you to have people that you can, you know, converse with in your native tongue and just, you know, have that situation?
Yeah, it's always nice to, you know, coming here and talking Russian. You know, it's a little bit, you know, different jokes, different, almost as you call, slang here and there. Some things you can't translate and vice versa. So it's always nice to, you know, sit out there and talk with the guys, and especially, you know, sitting with Gino in the locker room. I mean, some guys get tired of us already talking Russian, but it's we can't help it.
I feel like that's kind of an underrated aspect within game, when you know another language that other guys don't. I think I remember it was last year, obviously you weren't here yet, but Evgeny Kuznetsov and Evgeny Malkin got into it on the ice, and they said something that no one else really understood, but they were clearly pretty fired up with one another, so I'm assuming that was some Russian slang going back and forth, but it's got to be an advantage sometime when you guys no idea what you're saying.
Yeah, for sure, and it's like, yeah, obviously you want us, you know, on the ice, especially, you know, there's just only two of us that speaks Russian. You want to keep it, you know, as English as possible. When things are moving so quick out there on the ice, and the emotions, you always get the thought of your first language. And I even remember when I was, you know, playing Montreal, me and Radulov was, there was like a clip of us just going at each other. And everybody thought we were just talking about the game, but we were just swearing at each other. And they put that on TV, and I'm like, if this aired in Russia, it would have been, you know, the best video of the week. But it didn't, so I'm sure something like that will happen this season also.
So yeah. Does your line mate then have to learn a little Russian, help him out a little bit?
Or, I mean, I'll be a translator.
You could be the go-between.
It's one or the other, yeah.
I don't know if they ever had that before. That could be a nice little wrinkle with the line.
Yeah, and, Alex, you skated with Gino in Miami, right? And so what has it been like kind of getting to know him, not even just here, but there as well?
Yeah, I feel like the second I got traded, and because I speak Russian, people thought, you know, we were best friends and we knew each other for so many years, but I've actually never met Gino. To the day in Miami, you know, I was just skating, and then him and, you know, the best skating coach came down later, and Truce herself, we met, and we're like, okay, let's get on the ice at the same time tomorrow. I mean, why skate separately? And then came and had a great practice, and, you know, that was it.
Did you guys fly here together from Miami?
No, he proposed to fly together. It's literally the second thing he said to me. He's like, you want to just go fly tomorrow? And I'm like, I'm not ready. I haven't even packed yet because of the big storm coming.
Oh, right, yeah.
So he lives like on an island there, so the whole island was shut down, so he had to get out of town. But
booted him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I live in a little bit different scenario out there, and stayed for extra 4 or 5 days, so came back here.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you spend your summers, your off seasons?
It's mainly in, you know, Florida. It's, let's say, in the middle of Fort Lauderdale and South Beach, so it's 20 minutes from that way and 20 minutes from Fort Lauderdale. It's in Sanyals. It's a pretty Russian area, and I spend most of my time there. I spend, what, like 12 weeks out of the whole summer there, then travel, went to train in Italy a little bit, and then visit the roots back in Belarus.
So can you tell us the story behind skating in Italy, and just is it the rink that your dad used to play in, from what we understand?
Yeah, so my dad played a couple of years in Italy, and that's where I've you know, picked up Italian language. A lot of people ask me how many languages and why do I speak Italian, but that's the reason my dad played there. And it's like a smaller town in the mountains, and you know, they won the first championship back in 2000, which was really huge for that city there. And always try to come down there every summer now. And then, you know, my dad and we as a family, we're doing, you know, kids camp for two straight summers there. And you'd be surprised how many kids actually like hockey in that town. And definitely it was more special coming in there during the camp and doing it, you know, playing for Pittsburgh, because you signed so many t-shirts and jerseys with the logo you'd be playing for, which was nice. But yeah,
that's so cool.
That's incredible. Imagine if you're one of those kids who has a Penguins, you know, apparel signed by Alex Galchenyuk, who then gets traded to them.
Yeah, they had the jump on everybody else.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because I usually get traded. Well, usually.
Usually get traded.
Last two times, hopefully today's like that. Yeah, last two times I got traded was literally a couple of weeks before that camp. Because it was before the draft.
Wow.
So the camp was, you know, the video, the poster was in one jersey, and then boom, I just get traded. And it was literally almost identical scenario this time around, but not a lot of people were definitely excited about it.
Hopefully we can keep you in the same jersey for a couple of years.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you say you speak Italian, obviously Russian, English. Did I see a little bit of French too in there?
No, actually. Okay.
Wikipedia was wrong, though.
No.
The internet's always right, Josh. Yeah. Never forget that.
I used to speak fluently French when I was 7 to 9.
Oh, okay.
Because my dad played in Switzerland, so playing, they were speaking French, and I didn't know back then I was going to play for Montreal. So I didn't keep it active.
Fair enough.
Well, was your dad the one that influenced you to get into hockey? Obviously, growing up with a professional hockey player that's a father, obviously they have to have a big influence on you.
I don't think I had a choice, to be honest with you, but, but no, I obviously loved the game and turned out to be pretty good at it, but I don't remember first time going on the ice. I was 1 year and 8 months, so.
Oh, wow. Remember,
that's really young.
Yeah, 20 months. So I don't remember my first time skating, and unfortunately, I know we don't have to put that. No, because the videos of me skating on those old video cameras.
Oh, yeah.
When we were living in Moscow, our apartment got robbed. So
oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
Oh,
no.
It's
not
hard.
Like it's iCloud now, right? Back
then. Yeah.
Like oh, that's too bad. VHS, yeah.
I never understand. If I was a robber, I feel like I would just take the camera and leave the tape. Like, yeah. Come on. Like,
yeah, why do you care about that? Like, yeah. What is the tape? Yeah.
Right. What does that mean to you? Like,
it's like the Jamalini where they come and steal the pictures of the.
Yeah.
Something you can't replace. Yeah.
Like, mail it back or something. Like, anyway.
Yeah. You know the address. You've been there.
You got the address.
So, shattered the window in the corner over there. You might as well drop it back in.
Seriously. Oh, that's so messed up.
Well, okay. You do have an interesting background, though. You were born in Milwaukee, but then moved when you were 3 years old. I mean, do you remember much about that time, or is it just so far gone in your memory?
Well, as a kid, it seemed so totally normal. Okay, your parents going, you know, this country, this city, and dad's playing hockey, so he's playing for one team, another team. But then you slowly, you know, growing up, and you're like, wow, we moved quite a bit, like from one city to another city to country.
I was going to say,
like,
city, country to country to country, Belarus, right. Russia.
Yeah, it's one of my hardest, you know, questions to answer is, can you explain your background? I know it seemed like an easy question, mm-hmm. but I was born in Milwaukee, went to, lived in Germany, Switzerland, Italy, then 10 years in Moscow, then played in minor midget in Chicago, and then in Canada, and then I think it gets easier.
So would you always move with your dad whenever he was going to a different country to play hockey?
Yeah. You know, he spent a lot of time in Europe. So, I mean, which is nice. You know, you look back and you're like, as a kid, you lived in Europe, which is, you know, so many nice places and experienced so many different cultures and, you know, great food, which sticks to me now. To this day, so
Italian food, huh?
Italian food, yeah. It's hard to beat that.
It is hard to beat that. Yeah. I agree. Italian food's in its own class.
Yeah. So, what was it like when you getting acclimated to different parts of the country whenever you would move?
I guess for me it was, you know, right now you say that it's tough. You know, you have friends, you move schools, high schools, and all that, and it's so tough. But for me, it was, you know, hockey was like the best friend. You know, you move to one country, one city, but you still play the same game. Rules are the same. So, and then you get there, you get, you know, new friendship with the teammates. Then you move to another city, and it's like a routine. So, hockey always kept me happy with the move.
It's crazy when you think about the languages too. Like you're able to pick up as a 7-year-old picking up trying to French, and then you know, 9-year-old trying to pick up Italian. Like all these different, you know. Yeah. For you said it was just normal. You just thought that was part of life. But now looking back, do you see that as a huge benefit? I mean, most Americans are, you know, unilingual. They don't speak multiple languages. But you've got three, sort of four under your belt.
Yeah, exactly. Almost. Yeah, it's adding so many different cultures to you. I think it's. Definitely, you know, beneficial and helps me get around. What if you go traveling now, or you know, I mean, it's always nice, like, to have a different background. Yeah.
Well, especially I feel like who you played for too. I mean, Montreal. I mean, obviously, is a French-speaking city, but also you kind of get that extreme Canadian French flavor there. Here in Pittsburgh, our locker room's kind of a smorgasbord of Europe, honestly. Yeah. I mean, all across the continent, it's covered. So that's got to be easy for you, too, not in the sense of necessarily knowing all the languages, but being familiar, having been to so many places, kind of knowing where these people came from. That has to be kind of an advantage.
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, being from different countries and, you know, on the team, there's so many different cultures and everything. Everyone brings, you know, their own persona and what comes with it. And you can live in so many different areas. You can kind of, you know, start the conversations easier and have you know, a couple subjects to talk about outside of hockey.
I was going to say, too, you've got all these different backgrounds from all these different countries. Why do you represent the U.S.? Because you do international play, you represent the United States. You know, is that kind of how you identify? Or why did you choose to maybe jump onto USA hockey as far as maybe even you could obviously have done Russian or Belarus or all these different areas you clearly could have went with? Why did you choose the United States?
I don't know. It's since I was really, you know, growing up, younger, my parents, you know, they had to visit the United States once a year because before they just had green cards. And every time we would land back, you know, my family would always say, you know, son, welcome home, because I was born there, and I was the only one with the passport, so it was always welcome home, welcome home.
So you walked right in, and they ought to give their
customs. Exactly. I was always, you know, the easiest. Now everybody's on board, but at first it was different. But, you know, I don't know. It just always seemed like home, and never really got to invited to play for any tournaments growing up for Russia national team, so I was just, you know, waiting for a call from anyone, and then I was keep growing and getting better and better, and I still remember that I never got a call from Russia, so when it was time to decide which country to play for, I'm like, you know, the U.S. was the first one to call, so let's go for it, and you know, lucky enough, I won World Juniors for U.S. in Russia, which was an experience, but
yeah, what was that like?
A lot of interviews.
Yeah, multilingual body.
In two languages.
Yeah.
Non-stop. It was non-stop, but it was cooler that we won, of course.
So it was a little sweet extra, considering that Russia didn't call you, and then you went back there with the United States. By the way, we're happy to have you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're
welcome.
Lost.
But even more sweet to be able to go back and kind of go against the team that overlooked you a little bit.
Yeah, it's always, you know, adds a little fire. Or motivation, whatever you call it, but you know, we had a really good team, and it was definitely a fun tournament to play.
So you came back over to the States when you were 15, right?
Yeah.
So what was that like after moving around so much to now be in North America for an extended amount of time, and did it feel like an adjustment at all, or did it feel like you were coming home, like you said?
I don't know. I always wanted to spend as much time as I, you know, growing up as a kid. Always spent so much time in Florida, and it was like the best times of the year. And I actually haven't been in Moscow, I think, in 6-7 years.
Really?
Yeah. So it's been in Belarus, Minsk almost every summer, but actually in Russia I haven't been in a while. And they, you know, said a lot of people said things change, but it's nice to kind of settle here. And you know, I always like North America, and I'm not going to say what's better or what's worse or any of that.
We won't ask.
Everything
you.
Is yeah. different. Everything is different. And,
right.
You know, like everything, good with the good and bad with the bad.
Yeah. And how close did you become with your family during that time, Alex? You said hockey was your best friend. I mean, I have to assume your family was too, just moving around together so much.
Yeah. You know, my family is a tremendous amount of support. And whatever is, you know, up and down, and obviously with the moves, and you know, when my dad first was playing, we was moving, and then you know, me getting traded, and the moves, and there's, you just feel so much support. I think not just me, I think everybody, you know, you look at players, and support is so huge, and I mean, in the league or whatever you do. So, and you know, I'm lucky enough that it comes heavy from the family, so.
And then you went to Sarnia, and your dad was coaching you. What was that experience like?
Yeah, it was cool. He started, you know, as a skill coach. He was basically doing the same drills that he's done with me my whole life, just added a whole hockey team, and then the team was, like, decided, you know, like the drills you're doing, like how you are with the team. And then the coach got fired, so they moved up coaches, or, like, go, you know, work assistant, which was, you know, was unique and different, but... Yeah. It was cool to look back and say, we know we did it.
Was he harder on you than the other guys? Or,
Oh, yeah, always.
Had to set the tone, right?
Yeah, well, he was a coach. He was a head coach when I was playing in Russia. It was like 12, 13, 14. So remember I called him dad. Dad once, and I think I haven't called him dad. Just for like a couple of years until like I'm in the NHL. And I was like, I went back to dad.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's crazy. So you called him coach the entire time, Thanksgiving, everything, see him around?
Yeah, pretty much.
What was that draft going into the draft like? I mean, I know you got injured the year before, but you were obviously a blue-chip prospect, expected to go top five at least. Was it nerve-wracking heading in? Were you worried, concerned where you would go, or just more about excitement because you know eventually you're going to get drafted by an NHL team?
It was definitely weird. I think mentally it helped me that I played last two regular season games and then – six games in the playoffs that draft year, but You know, obviously now you've been in the NHL and you'll look back and you'll be like, oh, it didn't matter. But when you're at that stage in your draft year, you look at the rankings and it's like up and down, jumping from 3 to 15 to back to 5, but you're not doing anything about it. You're just
you're sitting there
rehabbing and playing Call of Duty. And you can't do anything about it, which was hard. And then, you know, you have meetings with the teams, and I remember the combine. And I just remembering I was talking about my game so much, which in a normal scenario, I would have, you know, played a season, would have the game speak for myself, but I would just had to sit out there and just basically explain what kind of player I am, which myself in a better word, I would have just been, you know, more, you know, you've seen it. You know.
Right.
So you come in the draft, you don't really, I didn't really know where I was going, but, you know, got lucky, picked pretty high, didn't have to wait that long.
What was that whole week like? I mean, you were in Pittsburgh, obviously get your first taste of the city. I know you did a bunch of things, rode the Gateway Clipper, went up the Mount Washington. I know when we spoke earlier, you talked about playing hockey on the bridge.
Yeah.
But what was that whole week like and the experiences you got in the city?
It was great. You know, even back then, I knew kind of great sports city Pittsburgh is. And we did so many nice, cool like events like you just mentioned. You know, the hockey on the bridge, that was something I've never done, and it was so cool, you know, how these days it's such a, it's just half a day and you can turn anything into a hockey rink or, or just put two nets anywhere, whatever is possible, and that was something really cool. And because the arena was brand new, you know, walking in, you're like, oh, wow, this is the NHL, it's completely brand new, but then you realize that it's not everywhere like that, but that's why it made, you know, coming back to Pittsburgh as a Penguin, you know, so much special because you saw like the environment, how everything and professionally done and nicely done this year.
Yeah, how surreal was it? Like you, so you played hockey in the Roberto Clemente Bridge, and then when you came here for your tour, you walked back over, I think that same bridge to go to dinner. I mean, what was the emotion like for you in that moment?
And actually, dinner at the same spot that happened 7 years ago.
Same meal.
No, different meal, bigger meal this time. But I don't know. It just brings so much, brings so much memories, and it's at the same time, it's not that hard of a memory. It's always in the back of the head. Like you got drafted. Like I don't think a lot of people, as you asked, that would forget that day. But it just makes everything so much more unique and special.
How excited were you when you heard your name called then by Montreal, obviously?
I didn't,
the dream come true.
Yeah, I didn't even, to be honest, I didn't hear my name.
Really?
I just heard, well, because me and my junior teammate, Neil Jakubo, who went first, were the only guys that knew were going to go that high. So his name got called from Sarnia Stang. So the second I heard from Sarnia Stang, I knew it was me. It was just so exciting, and you didn't even hear your first and last name, but it's crazy. It was a lot of, I mean, excitement and emotions, and it feels a while ago.
It is. I mean, when you think about that draft class, too, I know everyone likes to always compare draft classes. Yeah. You got, I mean, obviously you mentioned Yale going number one, but Matt Dumba was in that first round, Tom Wilson, Tomas Hertl, Jacob Trouba. You've played more NHL games than anyone that was picked in the first round of that draft, 490. Do you know that? And, I mean, does he take kind of pride in that?
I mean, not planning on stopping.
Yeah, right. Only adding,
they're
right?
They're not going to catch
exactly.
You, is what
you're saying.
Yeah. Those are some good players right
but
there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I saw that, I think a tweet or something about that. But, it definitely feels good. I mean, I'm not going to say that it doesn't feel nice.
Kind of prove the pick right in
exactly,
a way, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, got to keep going.
What was it like playing in that first NHL game? I know it was during the lockout season and you got the late call-up, but what was it like stepping on the ice for the first time?
I remember I was so nervous during, even though it was such a short training camp. I mean, I had a nice way to NHL.
I was gonna say, was like welcome to the show, kid.
Yeah, it was like 5 days, and I was like mid-season form because I played 30 games. I played World Juniors already, so I came in. I was really prepared to, you know, crack the lineup. So it was like 4 or 5 days injured squad, but I was so nervous. I remember those 4 or 5 days because I didn't want to go back to junior, and you know, when you get a taste of it, you're like, oh, I can't go back. You want to stick here. And then, so that's why I wasn't nervous at all my first game, because like I said, I was so nervous during the camp that I just came up and told me I'm playing. I'm like, oh, thank God. Like, finally can just, you know, showcase. And then I remember first time I touched the puck, I had a turnover. And it was going the other way, and the guy almost hit the crossbar. I'm like, oh, my God. But but then, I don't know, it was just a dream come true. And then, you know, lucky enough, scored in the second game, which it got out of the way. Always everybody talk about the first shift, the first shot, the first game. But then it was like, okay, the first goal, let's go.
Yeah.
And then you get out of the way. And I've been told, because of the lockout, it wasn't after 9 games. It was after 5, you've been told, when you're staying. And I've been told after 4 that I'm going to be, you know, full-time NHL. And that was
great.
When it's like you make it then, not like, oh, I played first game. You make it when you've been told to, like,
right, then you're going to stay. Staking.
Yeah, that was, for me, it was huge.
Yeah, because we were able to, like, look for a house and, yeah, and go through that whole process instead of exactly staying in a hotel. And
exactly,
I don't think people understand that, you don't know for a while and you're just living out of a hotel and you're just not settled at all. But, it's still great.
It's still great, but it's definitely you always, you know, coming up to the rink, you look at the lineup, okay, you're still in.
Yeah.
You're counting days, counting games, but then you get that green light, it's special.
So since you came in that situation with having to deal with the shortened season, obviously it was pretty big news the last few days leading up to the season opener that the CBA is not going to be revisited for another 3 years. I mean, that had to be pretty relieving for you, your teammates, everyone involved, that you guys know you're just going to play straight through and play some hockey and not have to deal with any of that on the side here for the next few seasons.
Yeah, definitely nice to, you know, keep focusing on playing. You're not going in summer and you don't know if you're going to be, you know, reporting for camp or what's going on. So it's you kind of keep your head clear and, you know, just keep focusing on the seasons coming from you.
Yeah, well, Alex, it's been 7 years since, you know, the draft and that first game and that first goal. I mean, this might be a tough question, but how do you feel that you've changed since then? How do you feel that you've grown up and matured both, you know, on the ice and maybe off the ice in the years that have passed since?
Definitely, as the years go by, you mature as a person. You make, you know, mistakes and a lot of mistakes and whatever you want to call it, but I feel like it's, you acknowledge them and learning from mistakes, that's huge. And I think same off ice rule kind of goes into, you know, on ice, obviously completely different scenarios, but you trying to mature your game, you're trying to know what's right, what's wrong, create good habits, but also keep involving your game, keep working on it. And that's obviously being here in Pitt is such a great opportunity for me. You know, you get a chance to compete, get a chance to win, and then also learn from the best players, from the best players in the world. So it's you know, it's special.
That's such a good answer.
Yeah.
You're stunned. You don't even have a follow-up.
Yeah.
Well, I think that we did want to ask you some getting to know you type of questions too for fans.
A little fun rapid fire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then we can wrap.
Don't think, just answer.
First thing that pops in your head.
Right. Well, so I know a lot of people like to know about players' game day routines. What's your typical game day routine look like?
It's like you would think it's such an easy question, but it's like you have to think about it. You know, that's what one thing I've learned throughout the years is I was really way, way more superstitious than I am now. Now I'm trying to be, with each year, I'm trying to be less and less and less. And it's, now it's like here and there, it's like habits or something you used to kind of doing. But I try to keep it easy on the mind and not get too caught up in it. But
I love that you at least admitted it. So many guys will say, I'm not superstitious.
No,
and
no.
You're like, yes, you are.
No, I still am, I think, but just not as... not as bad as I, or superstitious as I was, you know, whatever works for everybody. But you wake up, you have breakfast, you know, go to the ring, have a morning skate, kind of get loose a little bit. And then it's literally just eating, practicing, watching video, and then eating again, and then resting, and then going
again.
Eating again, and then going to game competing, and then you know, hopefully win or, you know, lose, you still go back, eat, and then rest.
There's a lot of eating.
It's a lot of eating and then preparation and then, you know, doing your thing and doing game time.
You mentioned the superstitions and that you're trying to get away from them. I don't know if you've heard, this team has a few of them.
Yeah.
One of the ones that I just thought of off the top of my head with you saying that is the lineup as you guys come out onto the ice.
Yeah.
Have you figured out where you are there yet? I don't want to jump the gun on anything here.
No, but definitely I don't think I'm not last because I think Gino goes last.
Yeah, I think you'd have a problem there.
Yeah. But the thing is, I don't want to be too early, so I remember yesterday I was, you know, walking by. I timed myself, I thought, pretty well, and I was walking by, and one of the later guys, and everybody starts screaming, so you think you'd keep going, but then I stopped, so I'm like, okay, no, I'm not going, so I'm just, that's something new when you get in your team, you learn, okay, who sits where, who sits in the video room, who sits on the, you know, bus planes, and who goes out, and, you know, I'm sitting next to Gino in the locker room, and I'm sure he's a pretty superstitious guy, so.
Definitely not as bad as the other one.
No, yeah, but I was just, you know, ask him. I'm like, so just tell me straight up. I wish there was like a list of every guy.
They should actually make
make it easier.
It'd be so helpful.
Yeah, for sure.
On the bus.
But, you know, when the season gets going, you kind of realize it on the go.
Do you nap on a game day?
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. I mean, rest, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends how good your night sleep before was. Sometimes you're a little bit more tired or less tired and more excited or less, so. You know, I just go with the flow.
So what do you do on a practice day when you're done? What do you do away from the
rink? Aside from record podcasts.
Yeah. just hang out, simple stuff, you know, chill out. Nothing. I used to play video games quite a bit, but slowed down on that. I think that out of my system.
Yeah, it's part of growing up.
It's part of maturing, right?
For sure. Yeah, it absolutely is.
I mean, some people, like, you know, that are older than me, a couple of years even older, like it. It's, I think it's more of a preference. I don't think there's a lot of maturity goes into that. But if you are just doing that and missing the most important things in the day, then it's a problem. But if you can, it's all about balance, right? But
for sure.
Just hanging out with my girlfriend, doing, you know, normal, simple things, going to movies, dinner, getting my body rested for whatever comes ahead in games or practice.
You said dinner. I know you're a big Italian food fan. What's your favorite Italian dish?
Favorite Italian dish?
That's the toughest question of the podcast.
Wow. Maybe get two or three. Or eight. I mean, you know, there's no parameters here.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. A lot of people would say, okay, chicken parm. But like, chicken parm is not really Italian, though, if you think about it.
You had Getsup going.
I love chicken parm.
I love it. I was thinking, like, it was one of the first things that came up to me. I'm like, okay, chicken parm. But like, go to Italy and find chicken parm.
Yeah, you know, that's true. Like,
yeah, so I've never been to Italy. What would I...
Also, pizza's not really a thing.
Find
exactly.
there. Yeah. Yeah. Like, what do you eat when you're in Italy?
Oh. So many pasta dishes. That's
I was going to say, the ragu over there was crazy
that's
good.
Yeah, like
right?
The bolognese, but it's like ragu-ish. Yeah. And,
God, it's making me so hungry.
Gnocchi. There are so many different ones. And shaved with truffle. Not shaved with truffle, actually. Oh, my
gosh. He's like a chef.
Yeah.
What about sports? Are there any other sports that you have played growing up or that you like watching when you're not playing hockey? Or is it all about hockey for you?
You know, Sports Center is big at home, so whatever is on, just big highlight guy, any sport. So
love it.
You actually just sit there and watch a full game. I think football and, you know, Super Bowl is as close as that ever came, but more of a highlight guy for any sport, whatever is soccer, tennis, you know, even baseball, football. So, but to actually fan of basketball playoffs.
Yeah.
Playoff.
For sure.
LeBron guy?
Kyrie, but you know, the old trading places.
Yeah.
So I don't know which team to choose now.
When have you been in a lot of places? What is your favorite place to visit or favorite place that you've lived in or have been to? I mean, you're very well traveled, so.
Yeah. I think.
Or again, it doesn't have to be favorite, just something.
Yeah,
kind of
for. I think the best vacation spot was Turks and Caicos.
Oh, nice.
That was so.
Yeah,
I was just mind blown. I was wow, that was really nice. And you know, a couple places in Italy, but to think off the bat, you know, Turks and Caicos definitely.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And one last one I'd like to ask all the guys is tattoos. There's any ones that you have that are specific meaning or? I know you've clearly got a lot, but and I'm sure they all have a certain meaning. Is there any one that really stands out?
All of them are pretty meaningful. I was.
What was your first tattoo then?
Oh, my first tattoo was, you know, right here. And it's in Latin, and I kept it that way so, you know, people, I like to keep my tattoos personal.
Yeah.
And so not everybody speaks Latin, but understands Latin, so it
makes trying to hidden message.
Makes it, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Hidden messages for yourself and trying to be creative. And, you know, I think slowly it's going, left side is more like family side, but right side is more personal, like private for myself.
Yeah.
And it seems like that way, but yeah.
Awesome.
Cool. Awesome. Well, Alex, thanks for taking the time with us. Really appreciate you doing this.
Thank you.
And good luck this year and welcome to Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
All right, great interview with Alex Galchenyuk. It's kind of interesting, guys, because that interview pretty much a couple days before that was the first time I ever met him in training camp. But I know for you guys, Sam and Michelle, it got us a little bit further back, especially you, Michelle.
Yeah, it's so surreal for me because, you know, in 2012, we hosted the draft in Pittsburgh. And when you do that, you're just so invested in it. I mean, just all of the events surrounding it, you're following these prospects everywhere. You know, he talked about, you know, playing Dak Hockey in the Roberto Clemente Bridge, he went to a skills clinic in Castle Shannon. I mean, we were there the whole step of the way. And I remember doing a one-on-one interview with him back then. And it's just interesting because, yeah, you're so invested in these prospects and you learn so much about them. And I remember he was always someone that intrigued me just with his background and, you know, being American, but having the Russian accent. And so it was just so cool to get a chance to talk to him just now on this podcast about his background and have him go into detail about it. And it's just so cool to have him back here because, you know, he's someone that you almost follow their careers after they've had that experience here in Pittsburgh. So it's just so cool to see him here. And Sam, I'm sure it came full circle for you as well. I'm getting the chance to tour the facility with him and walk around Pittsburgh with him again 7 years later.
Yeah, so after the draft, after the trade, he came back to Pittsburgh to just do a quick run around to find a place to live and, you know, find his bearings and just kind of see the facility. And luckily I was able to hang out with him for the day and just be around him. And the one thing everyone keeps talking about is the excitement level, and you could just see it when he was walking around the facility and all those things, and even the memories. You know, I know he touched on it in the podcast, but went back to the same bridge where he played the ball hockey, went to the same restaurant for dinner. I mean, it was coming full circle for him. I think it was coming full circle for all of us, and it really is crazy how things just came all the way back around to the beginning, you know, and that this is, you know, talking to him, this is where he started his NHL career in Pittsburgh at the draft, and now he comes back to finish it, maybe, hopefully.
Can't wait to see him in action. Wearing number 18 for the Penguins in his first year in Pittsburgh, and we're looking forward to seeing him and the Pens begin their season against the Buffalo Sabres on Thursday night. We do want to thank our executive producer, Wayne Gretzky-Anderson. Also want to thank Sam Cassan and Michelle Crecchiolo and our friends at PPG, our new sponsors of the Scoop Podcast. Until next time, I'm Josh Getzoff saying we will catch you next time on the Scoop Podcast presented by PPG.